Good evening, everybody. I welcome you all to midweek service at the Grace Community Church's Wednesday Bible study session. We're gradually coming to the end of our series on the Holy Spirit, which we titled Our Helper, the Holy Spirit. We started the series some months back, and the earlier parts of this series were actually was done before the lockdown started. And so, unfortunately, some of it was not recorded because it was in church, and some of those early sessions were not recorded, and so they are not available for everybody to go back to listen to. However, since March, we've then moved on to have these meetings and to broadcast them on this channel, and so we have quite a number of the clips that are available. And so if you missed some parts, you can always reach out to our media team to get the audio clips. Just as some kind of reminder, you know, we started off the series really just looking at the person of the Holy Spirit, basically helping us understand that the Holy Spirit is not a force, is not an impersonal being, is not just wind, he's not just fire, but he's a person. Not only that, we went on to look at the deity of the Holy Spirit to help us understand that the Holy Spirit is God himself. And from then, we moved on to describe the activity of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Because even though the person and the work of the Holy Spirit is not quite described in such an elaborate way in the Old Testament, we do see from Scripture that the Holy Spirit was active in the Old Testament. And then we moved on to look at the activity of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. We've looked at the role of the Holy Spirit in our salvation, and then went on to then start talking about the Holy Spirit as our helper, as believers in Christ Jesus, recipients of the new covenant. We've looked at the help of the Holy Spirit as our teacher, as our guide, the leading of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit, the giftings of the Spirit, and some really wonderful topics that we've looked at. And as we gradually get to the end, I think it's important for us to look at this topic as we round off, which is titled The Symbols of the Holy Spirit. The Symbols of the Holy Spirit. This final section of our study is to look at some references to the Holy Spirit in the Bible with the use of symbols. And the reason why I would really like us to end with this is because as we started, you know, from the beginning, many times a misunderstanding of the symbols that are associated with the Holy Spirit in Scripture lead some people to a conclusion that the Holy Spirit is an impersonal force. It is, however, important for us to recognize and understand that the symbols only communicate different things about the personality, characteristics, or attributes of the Holy Spirit. And as we end, there are four prominent symbols that are used in the Scriptures for the Holy Spirit, and those are the four that we'll be looking at. And these four symbols, prominent symbols, are the symbol of the dove, the symbol of fire, the symbol of wind, and the symbol of water. Now, let me say something before we proceed. Whenever we are looking at a symbol, especially in Scripture, we must be careful to make sure that the context identifying the symbol is the right context in which you will interpret it. Let me give you an example. You see, even though the Holy Spirit is identified as a dove, in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16, it will be erroneous to assume that everywhere in scripture that the word or the symbol of dove is used, it always refers to the Holy Spirit. I'll say that again and give that example again. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16, as we will see, you know, later today, the Holy Spirit is identified with the symbolism of a dove. But then, you can't extrapolate, and every time you then see the mention of a dove in the Holy Scripture, you assume that it's the Holy Spirit. Let me give you an example. In Genesis chapter 8 and verse 8, after the flood had receded, Noah sent out a dove to see if the flood waters had actually receded, or after the, you know, yes, after the flood. Now, Noah sent out a dove. It will be wrong for us to assume or interpret that because Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16 mentions the Holy Spirit like a dove, then the reference in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 8 about Noah sending out a dove was about Noah sending out the Holy Spirit. No, you can't interpret scripture that way. And so, yes, the Holy Spirit is identified with the symbol of fire. It doesn't mean that everywhere that fire is mentioned is a reference to the Holy Spirit. That's my point. Let us begin, and we'll see if we can cover these four symbols today. We start with the symbol of a dove. The symbol of a dove. So let's go to that passage that I briefly mentioned, and that's Matthew chapter 3. Remember, it's Bible study, so we will always look at our Bibles. Matthew chapter 3. Spirit of God, we thank you, we bless you. Matthew chapter 3. This was at the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist. Verse 16, Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight away out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, this same occurrence is recorded in all four Gospels. Let's look at Mark chapter 1 and see this same thing described, this same event described. Mark chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him." It's also in Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3 and verse 22. It says, "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." And finally, John chapter 1. The Gospel according to John chapter 1, verse 32. "And John bare a record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him." Now you see, this symbol of the Holy Spirit coming like a dove is not exactly explained anywhere else in Scripture. But from the nature of the dove, it is inferred that the dove, as a symbol of the Holy Spirit, communicates beauty, gentleness, and peace. And in all of the descriptions that we saw in those four passages, the dove descended from heaven or coming from above suggesting a heavenly nature or something coming from heaven. And so that's the symbolism of the dove. Beauty, gentleness, and peace, and a heavenly nature as of a dove coming from above. Let's move on quickly. Fire. Another symbol of the Holy Spirit that we see in Scripture is fire. Fire. You know, each time, this is perhaps the one that causes too much problem. It's important we recognize something. As we go back into the Old Testament and even into the New, we will see that fire can represent or communicate different things depending on the context. For instance, let's look at Exodus chapter 3 and quickly see something important. Exodus chapter 3. This was the encounter that Moses had with the Lord, or with the angel of the Lord. Exodus chapter 3 says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." In Exodus, most of Exodus, any description of fire was communicating the Lord's presence. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and see a different use of fire in a different context. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 7 says that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, the use of fire in this context is about purification. 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 So we've said fire in Exodus, and most of Exodus was actually representing and communicating the Lord's presence. 1 Peter chapter 1, the use of fire, verse 7, is with regard to purification. Now look again at Leviticus, and let me show you another use of fire in a different context. Leviticus chapter 10. From verse 1, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon." This is Leviticus chapter 10 from verse 1. "And put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not." Then verse 2, "And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." And they died before the Lord. This use of fire in Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 2 is communicating God's judgment. Communicating God's judgment. The same thing that we seem to see in Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 29, where he says that for our God is a consuming fire, seems to be referring to God's judgment. So the reason why I took us through these three examples of the use of fire is so that we can understand that a symbol doesn't always mean one thing. because it may depend on the context. And so we've looked at fire on its own, when associated with God, and the three different meanings it could have. In one, communicating or expressing God's presence, as we saw in Exodus 3. In another one, communicating purification, as we saw in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. Or judgment, God's judgment, as we saw in Leviticus chapter 10 and Hebrews chapter 12. But you see, the most explicit passage that refers to the Holy Spirit in the symbolism of fire is what we find in Acts chapter 2. The most explicit passage that refers to the Holy Spirit with symbolism of fire is what we find in Acts chapter 2. And so, let us quickly go to that passage. Acts chapter 2. Yeah, I'm just looking at the time and I'm wondering if we can just finish up this series today. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The event, particularly in Acts chapter 2, was a visible demonstration of a supernatural presence. In Acts chapter 2, it was a visible demonstration of a supernatural presence. So it wasn't just fire appearing in the place, but it was fire appearing and then appearing on each of them, A visible demonstration of a supernatural presence. And so the presence of the Holy Spirit is God's personal presence in our lives. That's even the first thing that you see. The other analogy that is closely related with the symbolism of fire as regards the Holy Spirit, especially in the New Testament, is what we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul commands the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19 not to quench the Spirit. It's not that there is truly a flame burning in us, but it relates and communicates to us that disobedience to the Spirit is like throwing water on a fire. And so that depicts to us a reality that we can negatively affect the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives by our actions and by our attitudes. And so that is what fire really, really, when it comes to the Holy Spirit and the believer, that's what fire is about. And not something that we can send to people and to burn them up. Hallelujah. Let's proceed as we quickly look at the remaining two. So I said dove, fire, wind, and water. So the next is wind. I remember mentioning it during one of the teachings on the manifestation of the Spirit. How that the Greek word for spirit is pneuma. But that word pneuma can also be translated as breath or wind. And so it is not surprising that the Holy Spirit is seen and compared and described, depicted with the symbolism of wind. You know, we read Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. particularly verse 4 that we read, where it says, hallelujah. Just wait, let me read it again. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Okay, what I wanted to read was verse 2. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. That's Acts chapter 2 and verse 2. We also see a similar reference in John chapter 3, when Jesus was speaking with Nicodemus. John chapter 3, Jesus speaking with Nicodemus said in verse 8, it says, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Or let me read or quote the NIV. It says, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And so we see this symbolism of wind. And we need to understand that this imagery of the wind communicates the power of the Holy Spirit, His invisibleness, and His sovereign purpose. Particularly as you see in John chapter 3 and verse 8, it says the wind blows where it wills. And in fact, if you remember very well, one of the lessons that we learned from the giftings of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit, was that the Holy Spirit is sovereign. You can't box him in a corner. You can't say, no, this is how it must happen. This is what I want. No. And so it's about His almighty power, His invisibleness, and His sovereign purpose. And finally, the fourth image or the fourth symbol is the symbolism of water. The symbolism of water. For that, we'll need to go to the book of John chapter 7. That is perhaps the clearest reference in scripture to this symbolism of water referring to the Holy Spirit. John chapter 7, the passage of scripture that I love so much. Jesus speaking, John chapter 7 from verse 37. It says, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. As physical water is needed for physical life, the living water of the Holy Spirit is needed for spiritual life. And so this description and symbolism and imagery of the Holy Spirit as water communicates the refreshing ability of the Spirit. And in John chapter 7 particularly, it communicates an unlimited abundance of blessing that goes beyond just the recipient, but flowing to others, reaching out to others. It's different from what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, where he says, if you ask of me, I will give you water and you will thirst no more. That would bring only satisfaction to the person who drinks. But in John chapter 7, is a refreshing ability of the Holy Spirit, not just for the recipient, but also going forth and gushing forth and reaching forth to others. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the help of the Holy Spirit in our lives is not just limited to us alone, but brings such an abundance of blessing that flows and flows and flows and reaches out to others. And it's on this note that we would end this series. For us to recognize that we are empowered by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here with us. God's very presence in our lives, God's personal presence. And His presence with us makes all the difference, providing power and ability for our lives, for ministry, with an abundance of blessing that reaches others. Thank you so much for joining us in this series. I do hope it's been a great time for you, has been as much as it has been a great time for me and for everyone else. From next week, we will start another series as we start to look at studying the Word, as we learn how to study the Word, methods of study, and how it can bless our lives. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Have a really good evening.